Father, as always, I thank you. Every time we declare the word of God, we always declare also that the entrance of thy word brings light and gives understanding. Let that light shine even in the place where we are as a lamp around our feet and as a light to the path ahead of us. We give you, Lord, praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you were in the room yesterday, we talked about, you know, the understanding as a pillar of wisdom. And we covered three dimensions of it. Insight is another way that I define understanding. And that part of it, that insight can go into three dimensions. You know, insight over something in the past, we refer to as hindsight. Well, insight for the present, refer to as insight itself. And then insight for the future, we refer to as foresight. And again, that was a carryover from the previous day when we talked about past, present, and future. You know, today I want to go more into the inspiration of the Almighty. We've talked about that from time to time. I pray that you latch on to this because it will change your life. It's guaranteed to change your life. Change mine, you know, so I hope that you can get it as we share this lesson. This is taken from, of course, Job chapter 32 and verse 8. I have Proverbs in my head because of pillars of wisdom. Pillars of wisdom are described in many, many places in Proverbs. But today, you know, I'm just going to talk about the inspiration of the Almighty. I did give out this as a quick or short memory verse. It's actually, you know, not very long. The context, of course, to it was, you know, Job being surrounded by his friends and everyone saying this and that. And one of the younger men, Elihu, waiting for the elders to speak, he wasn't too impressed about what he heard. And then he began to speak himself. Said, look, I waited for days to speak. You know, those of you who are older than me. So I kind of waited for you to speak, but not liking what I'm hearing. You know, so he said, look, you know, it's not always by age. You know, I waited for days to speak, multitude of years to teach wisdom. He said, look, it didn't quite come out like that from the mouth of the aged, you know, but he revealed a secret here. He said, there is a spirit in man. Hallelujah. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise. And, you know, the aged do not always understand judgment, you know, but understanding and the inspiration of the Almighty, has they connected together? Well, right here, we're told that understanding comes from the inspiration of the Almighty. And what is that? You know, it's not just a cliche. Yeah, let's talk about it. What is the inspiration of the Almighty? Well, let's look at some scriptures. Then we're going to go into some testimonies. Now, this scripture we've already read here. Inspiration sometimes can also come in the form of, you know, silent instruction. That's right. You know, God can silently drop instruction into your spirit. You know, he connects with you in your spirit. He drops instruction there. And the next thing you know, wow, you know, it's a light. People say a light bulb went on and so on. In the book of Psalm 32, verse 8, remember Job 32:8 and also Psalm 32:8 have the same numbers. You know, in Psalm 32, actually verses 8 and 9, Psalm verse 8 says, look, I will instruct you in the way that you should go. And I will guide you with my eye. And then it comes right back behind that and say, look, But don't be as a horse or the mule that have no understanding. You know, I have to jerk them around with bridle and bit in their mouth and so forth. You know, when that basically means, look, when the Lord is giving you instruction and inspiration and understanding, go with the flow. Don't resist. Just go with the flow, because that's what's going to bring us into places of blessing beyond even our mental capacity. So we're going to be talking about that today. You know, the book of Job, chapter 33. I'm just going to give a few scriptures, and I want to go into some real life testimonies. The book of Job, chapter 33. You know, there's a secret here of how the Lord actually does this. And this happens to most people. You know, this subject we're talking about today happens a lot. It's just that people don't acknowledge or recognize that it is the doing of the Lord. It happens all the time. But the moment you recognize it and begin to appropriate it even more for yourself, then it works even more for you. In the book of Job, chapter 33, verse 15, we're told of something that actually happens, you know, even while we are sleeping. We may not know it, but it's happening. It's called in a dream, in a vision of the night, while deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Even at that time in the night, when you're sleeping, you're tired, you're slumbering, and so forth. What happens? Then he opened the ears of men. You may not know that he's opening your ears, because you may be sound asleep. And he seals the instruction in your heart at that time. You put something in your heart, even while you're sleeping. And you get up in the morning, and then all of a sudden you have this idea, and then you think it's because you had an idea. No, you know, it's because the Lord, he sealed something in your heart, you know, in the night before. And even great men, whether they acknowledge the Lord or not, you know, this is how the Lord does it, you know, and he'll put some things in their heart. They'll come up and, you know, sometimes you just come up, wake up, and then all of a sudden, you know, there is an idea, there's a fresh illumination, and something seems like, yep, yeah, I got it now. Well, that all came from the Lord. He opened your ears, even while you were sleeping. He dropped instruction in there. He sealed it in your heart, and he put it right there, even while you were sleeping. Here's another scripture that tells you that, look, there are many times that, and I'm going to talk about something else too after I read this scripture. In Isaiah 30 and verse 21, you know, the Lord, he guides us, you know, there's that voice of the Lord. You know, sometimes, you know, it's people who have practiced the presence of the Lord, they know how to hear it, you know. They practice it, they know how to hear it. You know, it could be a still small voice. It can speak to you audibly. It can speak behind your ears. It can, you know, whichever way it is. And it can put something in inside your spirit. But, you know, here's something that he told us, how he's going to, you know, you will hear in your ears, you know, a word behind you, you know, where you're about to make a decision. On to the left or right, you know, when you're faced with a decision, and when you don't know what to do, you know, the scripture says that, well, the Lord will tell you, he'll give you something, an instruction. You know, if we're not tuned to understanding these things, we may just, you know, chuck them off to chance. No, it's not chance. And sometimes people say, something told me. Well, let's knock that one out of the park today completely. Let's just get it out of there. It is not something that told you. It is the Holy Spirit that told you. And let's begin to acknowledge him as such. In fact, I don't want anybody in this room to ever say again that something told me. And we all say that. We catch ourselves saying that all the time. Because that's how we grew up. Everybody says something told you. No. Let's get that one out of there. Let's begin to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. You know, people call it intuition. People call it this and that. I call it the inspiration of the Almighty. And he'll bring that something to you that you will just know something that there's no way that you could have known it. You know, praise God. So let's give the honor to the Holy Spirit. Some people call it premonition. You know, sometimes they say, well, you know, something warned me that evil is about to happen and something told me. Well, it's not something really. It's the Holy Spirit dropping that word inside your spirit and giving you inspiration. Inspiration that, you know, you just, there's no way you could have known it. And he gives it to you like that. You know, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I want you to consider, you know, even the secular, well, meaning of this word, inspiration. You know, what do they say it means, you know, according to the dictionary? Well, some definitions says it's the process of, being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, you know, especially to be, you know, something creative, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And I say, well, it is a moment of divinely inspired knowledge, an intuition, something that just comes to you from the Almighty that you never knew, you know, and he just bring it like that. And when you hear some testimonies today, you begin to latch onto this, and it'll be helpful to you. I know it's helped me, it's helped many others, and even solutions to very difficult situations. Sometimes it just comes spontaneously like that, you know, from the Lord. Now, here is in Psalm 119, verse 98 to 100. The psalmist is talking about the kind of knowledge and intuition that God gives him, even beyond his own teachers. Can you believe that? Do you believe that God can instruct you? You know, some people are students and they are struggling with their exams and so forth. I've known believers that struggled a lot of exams. They fail and they have to do it again. It could be a certification. It could be something, you know, that they are trying to do, and they struggle with it and so forth. You know, well, if you can get a hold of this today, you can put all that struggling and quote-unquote failure behind you. Listen to how the psalmist put it out, you know, in Psalm 119. Let's read two or three verses there from, like, verse 98. He said, through, you know, thy commandments, thou hast made me wiser, not only than his enemies, you know. God will give you inspiration, intuition, strategy that will cause you to be clean escaped. They're thinking this way. God already tells you to go that way. And it's like they never see you, you know. And these enemies that are around you. He said, look, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Because your testimonies are my meditation. I understand even more than the ancients. Well, same thing like Elihu was saying. You know, I waited for days to speak. I waited for the older people to speak, you know, but so forth. And but he found out that, look, you know, the real understanding and intuition and knowledge comes from the Lord, you know, not necessarily just because of your age. So, but he said, look, it's because of your precepts, because of your commandments, it's because of your word in my heart. And so, you know, he said, through thy precepts, I get understanding. That's verse 104 of Psalm 119. You know, all the things about God and his word and so forth, the word of God, the knowledge of God can come to us through the word of God, whether written or spoken, can come to us by the Holy Spirit. You know, and that's what the psalmist is saying here. My goodness, he said, look, I'm getting understanding, you know, from even your word can quicken you. Say, quicken thou me, O Lord, according to your word, and so on and so forth. Now, in the book of, let me just read a couple more scriptures here, and I want to share some personal testimonies. Proverbs chapter 16, and, you know, and verse 22. Understanding. Now, remember, we're on the subject of understanding. You know, and we're talking about inspiration as part of this understanding. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. You know, if you have it, my goodness, It can be a lot of things, you know, for you. It can change your life, basically, you know, give you new life where you thought things were, you know, dull and nothing happening and, you know, things were dying out. The Lord would suddenly, you know, give life again because of his inspiration. Now, he talked about, you know, we read this one yesterday, and I want to read it again in Proverbs chapter 2. You know, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, they come from the Lord. Say, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord giveth wisdom. He layeth up sound wisdom. This is Proverbs chapter, you know, chapter 2. Let me read it from verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply your heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, and if you seek her like silver and search for her like hid treasures, then shall have understanding of the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know, he layeth up sound wisdom or sound judgment for the righteous. He's a buckler and so on and so forth. You know, so if you lack this kind of wisdom, and yesterday at the end of the room, we prayed, you know, for wisdom. We prayed for inspiration because, you know, the Bible instructs us to pray. You know, I said, look, you know, if you lack wisdom, you know, let you pray. You know, I should pray. James chapter 1, verse 6. If any man of you lack wisdom or understanding or intuition or inspiration or knowledge that you need, let him ask of God, and he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given to you, but you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know, so just some scriptures around the subject we're going to talk about here. But I'm going to tell you some personal testimonies. Some of you have heard this before, but there's many in this room that haven't heard it. So be patient with us while we share it again. Now, several years ago, I went back to school for my master's in computer science here at ASU. Well, I did have a bachelor's degree many years ago while I was in Nigeria in the same computer science. And I guarantee you that between the time of the bachelor's degree and the master's degree, because a lot of time had passed, my brain wasn't working anymore like it used to work. I'll tell you why that is important in this testimony. Because when I was a young man, my brain was so sharp. All I had to do was hear something once, look at it once, and that's it. I understood it. If I went to class, you know, unless I wasn't there when the instructor was explaining it, once I was looking at it and explained it, I never forgot it. It was just like that. Boom, it was there. You know, it was I wouldn't say exactly photographic memory, but, you know, when I was younger, some of my friends kidded me like that. They called me a nickname that was, you know, around that. It's just a photo, you know, because I would just see something and understand it. Well, that didn't last very long. After a while, I wasn't that sharp again. And then again, when many years pass, and this is, you know, look, if you're going to go to school and you're going to get some education, do it already. Don't delay, because the longer you delay, you know, the harder that brain has to work. Anyway, you know, in 1977, a bachelor's degree and so forth, in computer science did well. And then years later, I mean, now in the United States, moved to the United States and went back to school. And then now I'm in the 80s, and it's not really, you know, too terribly much. You know, we're talking about maybe 8 or 9 years or something later, but things are not working. That was the first time I did my, started on the master's program it was still good. 8 or 9 years later, I was still pretty sharp. And then I had to quit because I started doing consulting and I was traveling all over the place. Couldn't be in the same place at one time, you know, long enough to take the program. Didn't have all those online stuff back then. And then many years later, after everything was said and done, kids were grown, they finished college, you know, wife had gone to college and so forth and done her own thing. So finally, I'm like, look, you know, I got to do this thing because this was an unfinished business. I had done, you know, in 1980s, I had done 18 credits out of the required 30 or so. And then I had to drop out because I was traveling in my consulting work. So when I came back, I thought I only had 12 more credits to finish the program. I came back, you know, and they wouldn't let me do it. They said, well, 6 years or more had passed. You got to start over. And I guarantee you, it was so hard. In fact, they said I had to take a qualifying exam. I looked at the book that I was supposed to read for that thing. That book was like 4 or 5 inches thick. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to read this thing. I don't even understand what they're talking about. You know, and I prayed about that. And somehow the Lord gave me favor. You know, I was the only one that was waived for not taking that exam. And at that time, I started to not do so well in exams. I used to do well in exams. And I started to not do so well in exams. You know, my brain was just, so I was struggling with some of the classes. I had a friend and we used to just joke. I was very good in math when I was a young man, you know, whether it's advanced math, additional math, mathematics, physics, all of those things, whatever you call it, any kind of calculation, my brain was working. And this time around, I would read the thing. I was like, what is all this? I mean, the thing just looked like Greek. I mean, something that I should read in 30 minutes and understand it, I have to spend like 3 or 4 hours, read the thing over. And I was like, this is not working. But I put my mind to it that I needed to do it. So one day I see this, my friend, you know, we're kind of tight like that. And I say, hey, you know, how's your program going? I'm like, my goodness, you know, I don't know what I got myself into. This thing is not, it's not going right at all, you know, and I'm struggling. And he drops a word, you know, and he and I are like that, you know, he drops a word. He just said, you know, the inspiration of the Almighty will get it done. My goodness, I can't remember exactly the words he put around that, but I remember the inspiration of the Almighty. It's kind of like he said, well, you know, the Lord will do it by the inspiration of the Almighty or something like that. And I said, amen. And I walked away from that. And it was like, I've never heard that before. And I know I had heard it. So I said, well, I know that scripture is somewhere. He didn't quote the verse or give a reference or quote it like Bible. He just said it and dropped it. And then we said, shook hands and left. You know, so then I went and looked it up. I said, I know it's somewhere. And then I found it. And then when I found it, I read the context. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. This is what this thing is saying. So I kind of kept it in my heart. Now, let me tell you the first time that thing worked for me concerning this program that I was in, which is the reason why my friend dropped it. I was in a class. A very difficult class. I don't know whether it was a compiler construction class and so forth. We had to write a new compiler for the computer, which is the compiler is like the engine, if you want to think of it like a computer. And in another different language that I didn't even know. And it was very hard. And there were some exams we had to take and so forth. And I didn't like taking those exams. You know, the class was divided into series. And there was one part of it that was, you know, that we had to do the lab work. And you have to actually develop and create that compiler, and it had to work. And I'm like, okay, I think I can do well in that one. I'm not so sure about all these exams and stuff like that anymore. So one day we're in the class, and ladies and gentlemen, listen to this, because this is absolutely inspiration of the Almighty. We're in the class, You know, the instructor is asking us, how is everybody doing? We already did a midterm exam. And I don't think I did very well. And then there were two more midterms. And then the lab work was, they divided it up. Maybe the midterm was 15%, this and that. Lab work was this and that percent, you know. So I'm sitting in the back of the class. And he's saying, you know, how's everything doing? Everybody doing? Are you getting along with your project and your this and that? So I raised my hand, the back of the class, and boom, the inspiration of the Almighty hits me. And I said something that I wasn't thinking about, and I didn't know I would have said it. And I just said, and it just come out of my mouth. I wasn't thinking about it. I said, well, how about you just scrap the remaining exams and let us just focus on our lab work. You know, this lab work's a lot of stuff, and these exams, I don't know. Just, you know, add the remaining weight to the, cause I was spending a lot of time in the lab. Sometimes I'll be in the lab 2 a.m. My wife will be looking, where are you? She'll be there. And when I said that, everybody in the class, those who were, cause I was sitting right in the back, they turned around and looked at me and, what's he saying? You can't change the syllabus in the university. The exams are set. You know, you can't ask the instructor to cancel the exam and do this. It doesn't happen. Who does that? And they looked at me. And the man, he said, all right, that's it. We'll do it. And I said, look, you know. And he said, well, we'll just cancel the midterm, the remaining midterms. You know, you guys focus on your lab work. And when we got out of the class, I became an instant hero. Instant hero, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone in the class coming to me and say, how'd you do that? Because, you know, it was a blessing to everybody. Nobody actually wanted to deal with those exams, you know. And I said, well, inspiration of the Almighty. I just said it. They didn't know what I was talking about. And they got around me and said, my goodness, thank you. How did you do that? I said, well, inspiration of the Almighty. And well, you know, the man canceled the remaining exams. He gave us, you know, additional credit for the lab work and so forth. Well, I ended up acing that class. I aced that class. I probably wouldn't have because I already didn't do well in one midterm and there were a couple more midterms, you know, but I aced that class and it was the inspiration of the Almighty. I'm tell you another one. I had another class. You know, that was, you know, it was another computer class because I was doing, you know, master's program in computer science. And, you know, I was working at the time and then going to school and I didn't have much time to really read and study. So the instructor gave us this project and he paired us up and it was something, he gave us a book also, you know, it's part of the book for the class, you know, and you know, there was a lot of information you have to garnish from that book, but you have to read the whole thing to find it. It was a very thick book too. So we paired us up some project we were supposed to do, and I'll just abbreviate this story. And he said, you know, you work with your partner, this and this and so forth. And then he also gave us a hint that, well, you know, if you decide to go solo on your project, you know, you can double your score. But nobody wanted to go solo. And he advised us against it. He said we should work together because this is going to be a tedious thing and you're going to need someone else. So anyway, we're going along. You know, I'm the oldest in the class, of course, because now we're talking of 2003 or so, you know, when I should have done this thing in the 70s. I'm like a grandpa in the class. You know, all these young, smart guys, they are there. They're just in their early 20s. And I had contend with them in the class. So and they paired me up with one guy. And I have no clue what's going on. And I'm not understanding anything. Oh, I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll just feed off of this guy. So one day, I just leave. I go to the mountain. I have such a place where I go and pray. And I, you know, I just went, you know, and I prayed. And I said, Lord, you know, help me. I don't know what's going on. You know, I come out of that place. The Lord didn't tell me anything one way or another. I don't remember if he did. But I come out of that place. I just have confidence that, you know, and for those of you that know the Phoenix area and the Great Capstone Cathedral and the Headstone Mountains behind it, that's where I went. I used to go there and pray. Anyway, that's by the way. So I come out of there and go to pick up this book, which I had actually up to that time never read. You know, and listen, don't you ever try that, because you got to read your book. You got to put in your time. You know, and you should be reading it, and I should be, but I just hadn't had time to read it. There's all kinds of things going on. You know, I had my life, I had this, I had all that stuff, work, and, you know, still, we had the house fellowship then that I was leading and participating in or something. Anyway, I pick up this book, and I just begin to flip through it. And I've heard people say that stuff before, but it has never happened to me. People say, well, they just opened the book and they found something. That's not my thing. But it was my thing at that time. All of a sudden, I mean, there were several aspects of that project. And as it was like the light, it was like a light would just shine on something. And I would just see it and I would just be led to it. And I will open up the thing, and some part of the thing would just light up, literally speaking. And I would just say, my goodness. And I would write it down quickly, and I would go on and on. And, you know, I mean, all of a sudden, a light bulb opened up in my head, and I was finding all these things. I didn't read the book. And I was remembering the inspiration of the Almighty. And I had so much information all at once. I knew so much. I knew the answers to everything. I called the instructor. I said, I want to go solo, because I can, you know, really raise my grades if I did that. I told my partner then, and he said, why? You know, let's work together. I said, no. I gave him some kind of excuse. I didn't really tell him that, you know, I got knowledge that I'm not going to let you have. So I just gave him some kind of excuse, called the instructor, moved on. I aced that class. I mean, it was just amazing. In fact, the instructor was amazed. And that was another class where I wasn't doing well in the midterms. But I aced that class. I mean, there was just so much information that the Lord gave to me, and I put that project together. It was a paper we had to write and so forth. And it was amazing. Inspiration of the Almighty. Then I'll tell you one more, and then I'll let you give your own testimonies. There was a time years ago, I mean, for the longest time I was doing consulting. I had a consulting practice in information technology, you know, computers. You know, I was a computer consultant. I did information technology, databases, systems, you know, that kind of thing, if it means anything to you. But anyway, so I've been doing this many years, traveling and doing all that. The one place where I was for a long time, a company came in and bought out the place, and they said, you know, that they gave us all of us a chance, every one of us who at that time, they call us contractors, I call myself a consultant. And they gave us a chance to convert over and become, you know, a full-time employee, which I hadn't done for years. In fact, maybe at that time, at least 2 decades, because I've been working for myself. And I never wanted to do that again, work for anybody else. I just work for myself, you know. Anyway, I considered it. But, you know, I said, but they wouldn't, at that point in time, the company wasn't doing, you know, work from home. As a consultant, they were letting me do it. This new company came and said, no, everybody's got to move to a certain place, which was not the place where I lived in. I mean, how in the world am I going to move from Phoenix to St. Louis or someplace like that? At some point in my career, I'm like, I'm not doing it. So I wasn't going to do it. I said, well, you know, I just go find another job, which is what we did anyway back in the days. You know, you do one gig for 6 months, it closes, you find another one, and so on and so forth. I was used to that. It was no big deal. But as time went along, something happened. The manager I was working for at that time continued to say, hey, you know, have you guys applied for that position? They call it tip. I mean, well, they wanted us to transition over, you know, transition in place. And, you know, they said, you know, and I said, well, nah. And, you know, enough time would pass, he will ask again. He was trying to convince all of us that worked for him to take that job. And I didn't know at the time that he himself, he will work for another company, you know, that were all the information thing were, you know, outsourced to them. And he was himself trying to get the job at that new company as manager. So he wanted all of us to come over because he was used to us. Well, you know, I said, well, I don't know about it, you know, because I mean, I'm not going to move and they won't let us work from home. You know, and the company we were outsourcing with at that time, providing what they call managed services, was IBM. And IBM was a pioneer in the work from home. But the real company we worked for didn't want any part of it. So, but as long as we were working through IBM, we were able to do it. When they asked us to join the company for real, we couldn't do it. So I said, well, I'm not going to do it because they won't let me work from home. And then I was just going to apply for what they call the individual contributor. And that's just, you know, a systems engineer or database administrator, you know, and so forth. You were not in management or anything. You were just the engineer. So there were two positions open. He was going to apply for the manager position because they wanted to bring all of us in. And the rest of us that were under him were going to apply for the engineer positions. And then one day, you know, I was talking to one of my colleagues and he said something about, maybe he'll just apply for the manager position because he wants more money. He said he doesn't want to be a manager, but maybe they'll give him more. I said, oh, well, maybe I should do that too. So I thought about it. And in any case, God used just that one single statement to cause me to think about it. And when I said, well, maybe I'll think about it. When interview time or processing time came, even before we got to interview, HR called me and said, well, forget it. They said, well, you got to move here and there. I said, no, I applied anyway, but I didn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Then I applied for the manager position, or what they call people leader. So what they call it actually. And then they, asked me to move to some place and I said no. So I withdrew my application. I said, I'm officially withdrawing and I moved on. And then enough time passes. They interviewed everybody for that position. They couldn't find who they wanted. They even interviewed the man who was my manager at the time, the guy who was trying to, you know, instruct us to apply or urging us to apply. And they didn't give him the job. And so they called me back. And I said, they said, well, you know, are you still interested in this job? I said, no, not unless I can work from home. And they said, well, okay, maybe we'll consider it. I said, are you sure? Because I'm not moving to anywhere, you know. And they said, yeah, you know, why don't you come for an interview? Can you come tomorrow or something like that? And it was like, and I had to go from Phoenix to California the next day or something, you know, just very sudden like that. Because they'd been through all the interviews and they couldn't find the right person. Now they're thinking of me. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. Unless you let me work from home. And they wouldn't let anybody work from home. So here's where the inspiration of the Almighty comes in. You know, I'm very, you know, technical person. I can hold my own when it comes to technology. And I've been doing it for years. You know, I can hang with the best of them. But how to be a people leader in a technology company, I've never done that. Because I was always a consultant coming on my own. And I didn't know all the things that I had to do. So one night, I had to go for the interview the next day. In one night, I said, Lord, teach me how to knock the ball out of the park when they throw it to me. That's exactly my prayer. You know, they're going to throw me this curveball because I don't know what the questions, but I'm going to knock it out of the park. And I prayed and the Holy Spirit, you know, it was amazing. I can't even describe it. And the Lord started to just show me some things. I'll just go to, you know, check something up on the internet and light bulb will go on. Check something up. Like in just a couple of hours, I was ready for that interview. I flew there. It was one day interview. I was going to fly there and come back same day. I flew there. And then I see in this room, there's everybody there. There's VPs, there's this and that. I'm like, oh my goodness. And there was one particular lady I saw in that room. I've been talking to her all the time, but never met her. And she was one of the toughest, because every time we do these troubleshooting calls, she was always there. She was on the problem management side and always used to, you know, almost bully everybody around because make sure that everybody did the right thing to restore service quickly when the service was down. And she was there. As she introduced themselves, I heard her name. Like, oh my goodness, this lady is here. That's it. But I felt so confident from what the Lord told me and gave me the next day that I was so jacked up, if I can use that language. You know, I'm like, I got in there and the inspiration of the Almighty hit my mind. And I said, well, before we get started, I'm going to tell you something. And, you know, I was doing some database work and they had at that time taken the database department away from IBM, who was doing it at the time, giving it to another company. And I loved doing that. So we lost it. So by the time they asked us to come on in, we didn't have that. And I said, before we go further, one thing I'm going to demand, if I'm going to take this job, you're going to bring, VPs were sitting in that room. So you're going to bring the database department back under me if I take this job. So, you know, and they look at me and I said, why? I said, well, you know, and the inspiration just hit me. I said, well, because, you know, I'm the best database administrator this company ever saw. And I just put it out like that. And the Lord was just putting these my words in me. I didn't plan to say any of that. They just come out of there like that. And they began to ask me things. I was just knocking the questions out of the park. And they were not asking me technical questions. There was nobody in that room to ask me technical questions, you know. But, you know, they were just asking me these other things. You know, how you handle this. And I was just knocking those things out. And it was just the inspiration of the Almighty. And this lady that was such a bully, and she started to speak up in my defense. I mean, I won't say defense, because I wasn't on trial, so to speak. But, I mean, she became my advocate. All of a sudden, she just, I'm like, oh, what's happening here? And she started to say, yep, I know this guy. We've been on those calls, and he was always the one. I was so focused on, you know, resolving the issues, why others, why this and that. She just went on. I never thought she thought like of me like that. Because she was always very mean and difficult in those meetings. And she just went on and on and on. And well, you know, God just sealed it. But my part was the inspiration that the Lord gave me to know and how to answer all those questions. They didn't send me the questions they were going to ask, but the Lord showed me all the questions they were going to ask and how to answer them. And then some. And then the confidence that the Lord gave me to ask for things that it doesn't happen. You don't ask at an interview that a company will restructure their departments. I mean, who are you? And I did. And they did. Hallelujah. And it was one of my conditions of employment. I said, well, if I'm going to take this job, you're going to bring this department back. You're going to restructure it. And these people are going to report to me. And I want that thing back. And I'm like, I wasn't arrogant, but I was assertive. And the Lord just put those words in my mouth. It was came out of by inspiration. And I left that interview. The interviewing director, who I was going to work for directly, walks me out of that room and said, well, we'll be in touch. I said, okay, cool. And in the next few days, they gave me an offer. And I found out later, I didn't know this, that everybody they had tried to interview, they found one thing or the other wrong with them. Even the person who was my manager, they didn't give him the job. And when he learned that I took that job and they offered me the job, he called me up and applied to come work under me. Can you imagine that? So the guy I was managing, from 2009 to 2017, I was working under this guy. And now all of a sudden, by the inspiration of the Almighty, I'm on top. And he's asking that he wants the job. He wants to get out of that company and come work for me. Can you imagine that? Inspiration of the Almighty. Well, of course, I wasn't the one setting the rules. They didn't have any more opening for him. They had already hired the lower level places and there was just one spot left for manager and he didn't get it. I got it. And I tell you what, there's more, but I'm going to shut up here so others can give their own testimonies. There have been incredible moments that I have, solutions on this technology thing that I have done by the inspiration of the Almighty. The things that one day I said, look, I'm thinking to myself, and I think I actually said it to my wife in the house. She may or may not remember. I said, look, we've got this thing going on. I'm either going to be a villain or a hero. Because if I solve the problem, we're talking of a multi-billion dollar business and database and so forth. If I solve it, I'll be a hero. If I don't, I'll be a villain. And maybe, I don't know what will happen. Well, by the inspiration of the Almighty, I won't go into details because time's fast spent. I solved that problem. And my goodness, I became a hero. and many, many, many more. And one day we were in, this is the last thing I'll say. One day we were in a prayer meeting online, for our church, GMI church. So a sister comes in. She's in technology. She's having all kinds of problems, and so she comes and gives a, they're trying to do a release and things are just going haywire. It's not working. And she's right in the middle of it. And she comes in and gives a prayer request, and I heard that prayer request. I just smiled because I knew that that's right up the alley of the inspiration of the Almighty. I just knew it, because I had seen it so many times. So I said to her in that prayer meeting, I just give her this verse. I said, look, I gave her this Job 32:8. I said, and I just said a few words to her. I said, God's going to give you an inspiration. You're going to solve that problem, or that problem will be solved somehow. And it'll be by the inspiration of the Almighty. Well, she texted me during the week, said that's exactly what happened. Solution came out from nowhere to a technology problem. How do you do that? With the inspiration of the Almighty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there are many people, or I should say several, I wish there were many more, at my local church here in Phoenix, Arizona, who have heard me say this, and it's turned their lives around. And so I'm sharing it with you today that it turned your life around. I just said a few areas. In the most difficult things, that it can't happen. There's many more even simple things here and there. But I gave you the difficult ones that just cannot be, except it be by the inspiration of the Almighty. I want to hear your testimonies. And I want to hear your shares of what the Lord is speaking to you in here today. And let me finish up by saying, if you catch this revelation, and I'll tell you too, many times, how do I preach the word of God? It's by inspiration of the Almighty. I'll tell you 90-something% of the time. That's how it works for me. Even this daily room and stuff like that. I'll be thinking, because I'm always thinking in my head. I'm like, look, these people got to wake up, spend 2-3 hours of their time listening to me. Then it better be worth their time. And I remember what Jesus said and said, but for their sakes, I sanctify myself. So I'm always, trying to be like that. Look, I'm going to be the best I can be. I'm going to deliver the best because these people are going to spend their time come on in here and try to listen. you know, I can't just do, you know, just waltz through the thing. You know, it's got to be worth something. And I'm struggling with, Lord, what is it going to be? How can I be a blessing to the people? And I'm thinking one thing and so, boom, all of a sudden, inspiration will just hit like that. I tell you what, it's the truth. And all through my life, most of my life, and I, you know, I've been teaching this faith and ministry for years. For by the grace of God, I'll be celebrating 50 years in the ministry this year. You know, most of that time, when I'm thinking, it would just be one word from the Lord. Boom, like that. And then everything would open up. You know, I remember in 20, let me just give this testimony. I thought, I knew I said I would shut up. But in 2020, COVID, I was preparing the year, the December before. I always spend a lot of time in prayer, you know, saying, what am I going to tell the people, you know, when I come on stage? Because people are expecting a word. You know, people always do that when New Year and so forth. And I'm praying and so forth. The Lord's showing me some things. I have no clue. I hadn't heard about COVID. I hadn't heard about anything. And the Lord, you know, just gave me a word. He said, this year, I'm going to make a differentiation between my people and the rest of the world. I'm like, what in the world is that? I knew that's somewhere. So I'm going, I'm looking up. I knew that something like that is in the book of Exodus. So I'm looking for it. I'm reading it. I'm like, and one word like that, he'll just come. And then the next thing, he'll just open up. And it's like, I don't know whether I'm in a trance or I'm in a this or and that. He began to tell me things. I call them parables. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I go up there, you know, on January 1st day or whatever it was, first service of the year. And I declare this thing that something is happening. I've never heard of COVID. Something is coming this year. Now, people here from GMI Church will tell you. Something is coming this year. I mean, it's like black calendar days and, you know, another good set of days for the children of God. But that God was going to make a differentiation. I use that word. And I'm talking about it. Pestilence. Different things, you know, coming. I didn't know what it was. God didn't tell me it's COVID. He just dropped that word. That's the thing with God, too. He will tell you everything. He just dropped the word. And so I say all of that. I say, but look, be prepared, but don't worry about it. God's going to make a differentiation. And then a few months later, we're into that year, around March or whatever, I don't know, or February, we start to hear about COVID. My goodness. And I come out repeatedly and remind people, did not the Lord say that he would make a differentiation between us? And you know, we use that word to encourage ourselves throughout that time, you know, and on and on and on. One day it would just be one word. He would say emerge or something, or say quantum leap or whatever. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what in the world is that? You know, and then you begin to think about it and my goodness, it would just open up a flood of understanding. It's called the inspiration of the Lord. Well, I'm going to pray over the room. I'm going to leave it there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all the glory for all these things that I have said today. The glory is unto you, not unto me. Not unto us, not unto us be the glory. But I said it, Lord, that the people may believe that these things can work for them as well. But Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. What you can do in their lives through divine inspiration to give them solution, even in the darkest moments, to things that are complicated, cannot be resolved. And even wisdom from above, instruction and understanding and knowledge, cosmic knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and bring it to you. I pray, Lord, for everyone that's listening in here today. And as other people we share, you know, let the words of my mouth that I have spoken, the words that others will speak, let it be together a blessing to your people. And our lives will never be the same after this. Whatever confronts you from now on, you will win. Because the instruction, the intuition, and the inspiration of the Almighty will be with you. And you will recognize it as such. To God be the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.